Our sermon text this evening comes from Psalm number 3. As you turn to Psalm number 3, I'll give you a little bit of background to this psalm. The background is this. David is in a stormy time. He is running for his life from his own son. And the background to that goes all the way back to his sin with Bathsheba. And upon this sin, he's told, the sword will not depart from your house. And that brings him to this point in his life. Years down the road, his own son, Absalom, is after his own kingship. And as Absalom is seeking his father's kingdom, David has to run for his life. And that's where we find ourselves in this psalm. David is running for his life from his own son. These are stormy times. And in these times, David's only hope is the covenant promises of his Lord. That's where David turns to. As we read through the psalm, my goal this evening is to show you that David's faith is grounded in the covenant promises of his Lord. So as he speaks of the shield, he's actually speaking of covenant promises. As he these different words he uses, he's actually pointing back to Scripture. He's remembering his Lord's promises. So even though his foes mock him, he knows what's been promised to him, and he holds fast to these promises. So in these stormy times, his hope is rooted in the work of the Lord and the promises of the Lord. And we too encounter stormy times, and we have the same exact hope as David. His hope was rooted in the work and Christ, work and life of Jesus Christ, the death and resurrection of Christ, just as ours is. He may not have been able to see how that was going to unfold, but he trusted the Lord's provision. He knew the Lord would provide. And that's been the story of the faithful ones of the Lord since Abraham. And that's where we come to. In our stormy times, we also will rest in his promise. So in these stormy times, they have many faces. David's is very severe. His own son is trying to kill him. But we have stormy times ourselves. Maybe your health. Maybe you've gotten a report about your health. We've talked a lot about Alan lately, and that's been on our hearts. And that's a stormy time that we have to weather, and we trust in promises of the Lord. We trust in things that are greater than our circumstances. And even when circumstances may point us to believe that the Lord has abandoned us, we also realize that that does not necessarily mean the Lord has abandoned you when you're in a storm. But instead, we should look for the Lord and how he's working, how he's keeping his promises within the storm. So maybe it's your health. Maybe it's a job situation that's out of your hands and you're just bombarded by it. Maybe it's family strife. Maybe it's your own spirituality. Maybe you're doubting your salvation. There are many different types of storms. And in all of these storms, we have to be rooted in Scripture. And to do this, we have to know Scripture. We have to read Scripture. And we have to be able to call upon Scripture. So that's this is a little bit of an introduction to the psalm, but let's go ahead and read. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I laid down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be upon your people. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the confidence that we can stand knowing that you have made promises to your people and that you have given us this promise in the form of your Scripture, and we can turn to it and we can rest. Father, as I preach, please guide my words. Please protect this congregation from my errors and give me the confidence that you will be with me by your Spirit as you've promised to be with us. Please bless this time. In Christ we pray. Amen. So my proposition this evening is this. Trust God's salvation in the storm. It sounds simple. Trust God's salvation in the storm. But it's not simple at all. We know what a storm is. We've been in many of those. What happens in a storm? The clouds roll in and it becomes dark. then it becomes harder to see. Then the rain comes in, and it gets even harder to see. And then the wind and the damage comes with the storm, and you don't know what's happening. It's chaos. That's a storm. David's life in this text is a storm. And in a storm, you can lose sight of what it looked like before the storm. You can lose sight of what's really there. The storm is obscuring your vision. So to trust God's salvation in the storm, we're going to look at what David does. What does David do? He remembers the promises of his Lord. He rests in the power of his Lord. And he rejoices with his people. He rejoices with the Lord's people. So remember his promises. Rest in his power. And rejoice with his people. As we read the text, we heard the word many several times. Troubles were increasing for David. This is overwhelming. Many are my foes. Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. As troubles increase, it can get overwhelming. This happens to us very quickly. And it could easily cause David to despair. Many are rising against me. They are saying there's no salvation for me. Adversity mocks. There is no salvation for him in God. Who is David? He's the anointed one of God. What are they saying? When they're saying there is no salvation for him in God, they're saying he's been abandoned. They are saying that God is not with you. We can do this to ourselves. We can find ourselves in situations and say, God is not with us. We can blame ourselves for that too, right? David's situation in the text. He brought this into his own household. He brought this through his sin. The strife came. Through his sin, all of this has come upon him. Through his son's sin, this is happening to him. Yet David does not despair because he knows the promises of the Lord don't depend on him. The promises of the Lord depend on the Lord. And that is where we find peace in the midst of the storm. Because we know that as adversity mocks, the promises of the Lord are stable. They are secure, and they are not grounded in us. So we must be rooted in the covenant promises of the Lord. There are many promises in Scripture. And he's faithful to keep these promises. Christ was also mocked in the text that we read earlier. Christ was mocked. He's mocked multiple times on the cross. He saved others. He can't save himself. David's mocked in the same way. Christ appeared to be abandoned. David appears to be abandoned. And at times you will appear to be abandoned, but it does not mean that the Lord has abandoned you. Jesus is present and he promises this. Jesus says, when I go, I'm sending the Spirit. The Spirit will be with you. So even when adversity mocks, the Spirit is with you. And Jesus is present. Let's look at David's words once again. He says in verse 3, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head." You are a shield about me. This is the promise made to Abraham in Genesis 15. I will be a shield for you. He is calling upon the Lord who promised to be a shield for his people. And he says, you are a shield about me. This is a time of war. This is a time of battle. But he is not resting on the shields of man. He is not fearing man's swords because the Lord shields him. Not with material, but by his power, which surpasses any man-made weapon. That is where David's rest is, that the Lord will fulfill his promises. You are a shield about me. And then his confidence is restored. He says, my glory and the lifter of my head. As he recalls these covenant promises, his confidence is secure. Lord, you are my glory. You are the lifter of my head. I cried aloud, verse 4, I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. Christian, you too, when you cry, the Lord answers. We're promised that the Spirit intercedes with groans deeper than our words. We cry to the Lord on his holy hill, and he hears. The Lord on high hears you from down low as you pray. Have confidence in those promises. Not only is the Spirit with you, He is praying for you. He is praying with you. He is helping you. As you cry aloud to the Lord, He does hear you. Have confidence in this. Trust in God's salvation in the storm because He is a shield about you and He will restore you and He does hear your prayers. But as I said, storms obscure our vision. Have you ever been driving in a storm and an 18-wheeler sends up a sheet of water across your windshield? And for a moment, the road is gone. You saw the road, then the water came, and now all you see is the water. That is all you see in that moment. And what do? You have to recall what you saw prior to that sheet of water. You have to recall that that road was right in front of you. So you drive ahead based on that memory. And that's what we do. In this case, the road is the promises of the Lord. We must take a hard look at these promises because when the storm comes, when that cascade of water obscures your vision, you're going to need to remember what you've seen in the scripture. In the storm, it's going to be hard to search the scriptures and see clearly. But if you have already embedded these things in your memory, you can recall them. You can see them with clarity because you're not bombarded in those times. So prepare for these times of low visibility. When the skies are clear, take a look around, because when the storm comes, it'll be hard to see. Remember His promises. Next, we see that David rests in the power of the Lord. Let's look at verse 5. I laid down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves all around. He rests. I lay down. I slept. I woke again. This would not be a time that you would want to sleep, right? People are coming to kill you. It would be hard to sleep. If I have an exam the next day, it can be hard for me to sleep. Small trials make it hard for us to sleep. David's son is trying to kill him. An army is coming after him. He has been uprooted. He is on the run. But he says, I sleep. Why does he sleep? Because he remembers the promises of his Lord, and he rests in the power of the Lord to keep those promises. Those promises would be useless if there was not the power of the Lord to keep his promises. And he rests in this power. We're reading out of Psalm 3. If we were to turn to Proverbs 3, it tells us that the one who walks with the Lord in the fear of the Lord sleeps sweetly. And why does he sleep sweetly? Because he knows that the Lord will sustain him. The Lord will uphold him. David is trusting in the Lord here. So he lies down and he sleeps and he woke again. As he trusted the Lord, we see that the Lord was faithful. He wakes up. He arises the next day. For the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people. Or if you have the NASB, it may say tens of thousands of people. And if you were to go back to the Hebrew, you'd see that that's there. And that's important because if we look at the book of Exodus, we see these numbers lining up that the Lord will support and your hundreds will chase their tens of thousands of people. He is trusting in the power of the Lord that his small army will defeat this large army. Not because they're skilled warriors, not because they have a great battle plan, because he trusts and he remembers the promises of his Lord and he rests that the Lord really does have the power to keep those promises and that it is in the Lord's character to keep those promises. The Lord has promised to be an enemy to our enemies, to the enemies of his people. And David is resting in that. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. He would be hopeless in that situation if the Lord were not with him. Then he says, he calls upon the Lord. He says, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. The Lord is an enemy to our enemies. He is an enemy to our greatest enemy. If we go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, what's the promise? The seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. We see this here. If we slow down and read this, we'll see this. We can lean on the same promise. For you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. What does that mean, to break the teeth of the wicked? To render them useless. To render them no longer a threat. Death, where is your sting? My Lord has punched you in the jaw and broken your teeth, death. You have no power here. That's what we are told in Scripture. That death has lost its sting because our Lord has defeated it. And that's the kind of faith we see in David here. He trusts the Lord to take care of him and to protect him. And just as the Lord sustains David, we see Jesus rest. Remember on the boat in the storm? And Jesus is resting in the midst of a storm. The disciples are fearing for their lives. They come to him and they say, "Don't you know we're about to die? Don't you know we are all perishing and you're asleep?" How does Jesus sleep? Well, Jesus knows the purposes of the Lord. Jesus knows the plans of the Lord. And Jesus knows the power of the Lord to see it through. Jesus is trusting. And in their disbelief, they are fearing. They don't see what's happening. And in the midst of the storm, they are fearing that it's all about to end. But the Lord has the power to keep his promises. And if he's promised something, he will see it through. So remember his promise and rest in his power. He will soon crush Satan underneath our feet. Romans 16:20. If our God is for us, then who could be against us? So trust in God's salvation in the storm by remembering his promises, resting in his power, and also rejoicing with his people. As we read through the text, we get to the last verse and he says, "Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessings be upon your people." He ends in a benediction. So this psalm that begins so dire, "Many are rising up against me. Many are saying there's no salvation for me," ends in salvation. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessings be upon your people. So as we remember his promises and rest in his power, we are rejoicing now with his people. This is what David is doing. He is rejoicing that the Lord has not left him, that there is salvation for him, and he is rejoicing. This is public. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessings be upon your people. Let's walk back through the text. Let's see how the Lord is with him. Verse 3, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, the lifter of my head." Who is doing this? The Lord is doing this. He's giving praise to the Lord. He doesn't say, "I am glorious." He says, "The Lord, you are my glory." He's not boasting. Not boasting in the way that we may boast about our achievements or something like that. He's boasting that the Lord's glory is indeed with him. And he's doing this for the benefit of us, so that we will hear it, so that we will rejoice that the Lord's glory is with his people. "He lifts my head." I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me. He rejoices over the work of the Lord. "I lay down and I slept, but I woke again, for the Lord sustained me." He is praising the Lord for his work. And that is what we must do. We must rejoice with the Lord's people. Our testimony is an encouragement. We don't boast because the Lord is good to us. We don't boast because we were good, so he was good to us. David was not good. David was a sinner. David brought this upon himself. But the Lord was faithful. And that is why we boast. We boast in the Lord's work because he is faithful to people who don't deserve it. And we give him praise for the work he does in our lives. We give him praise for the work that we've seen him do in other people's lives, because we need to hear it. Because when someone else is in a storm, they need to know the Lord is faithful. So we rejoice with his people. And we praise him because he does answer. We praise him because his promises are fulfilled. And we praise him because salvation is his alone. Look at verse 8 again. "Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessings be upon your people." Salvation can be found nowhere else but in the Lord. And that is where we boast and we find our hope. So we trust in God's salvation in the storm because we remember and we rest and we rejoice in all of the storms that come upon us. But everyone encounters the same storm, and that is that we all began in a crisis. We all begin faced with the wrath of an almighty God. So no matter what storm you are in now, whatever trial you are in, whatever crisis you are in, none of them exceed that crisis. But for many of us, we have faced the storm in faith already. We have faced the storm trusting in his promises. We have faced the storm trusting by faith that he has the power to keep his promises, that the child of promise, Christ, really saves us from this storm. And if we have placed our faith in Christ in the midst of that storm, and if we really believe that that storm is severe as it sounds, the wrath of an almighty God, then we can place our faith in him in any storm, because there is no storm greater than that. And if you haven't placed your faith in him in that storm, that is where you have to start, because you cannot trust him in the other storms if you haven't trusted him in that greatest storm first. But once you have, you've already done the greatest thing. And that is by the power of his Spirit. By his Spirit, he brings us in to trust him. By his Spirit, we can trust him in the storm. By his Spirit, we trust his promise. By his Spirit, we rest in his power and we rejoice with his people, not upon our own power. So we find great encouragement in this, because there will be many trials. Our hymn books are filled with men writing songs in times of trial. Our Psalter is filled with David writing psalms in the midst of great trial. That is the nature of our life. But we may trust in the Lord, salvation in the storm. So my final encouragement to you is this. As you prepare for the storm, do it in fair weather. Look upon his promises and consider, how do I apply this? Take them to heart. Know them well. In the book of Deuteronomy, families were charged to raise their children up in the word. You were to talk about it in the home. You were to put it on your door. And as you went out the door, you put it on the gate. What are we doing? We talk about it as we go through life. We embed God's word in our minds so that it's a reflex for us. Because just as I talked about the road, and if I hadn't been paying attention to the road and a sheet of water came up and covered it and I didn't know what was ahead, how would I anticipate it? How would I know how to be? But if I have latched on to the truth in times that are clear, once I have no vision, once all of the sunshine is gone and all I have are clouds and rain and wind, I know what was true in the daylight is still true in the storm. So my final encouragement is, ground yourself in the promises of Scripture in the good times, because when the hard times come, you will need to hold on to these promises so that even if a whole army is against you, you can say that salvation has not left me. My God has not left me. His promises are still true. And even though I'm surrounded, he will defeat my enemy. And no matter what you go through, the promises of the Lord will remain true. So know them well. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is true. Please help us to remember it. Help us to love your word as we should. Help us to treasure it as the precious words to us that it really is. Help us to see your goodness and your mercy given to us through just the provision of your word. You're kind to us, Lord. Thank you. In Christ we pray. Amen.